we gaan starten met een nice woord aan Parshas Re'ai. Een woord van de Bashemtev. Ze ashaloi soichli mehem. The Pusik is talking about the things that Nala Re'i, the birds that aren't kosher. And the Pusik talks about Vesaru, Vesav Ayu, Vesadayu, Lemino. So it's Makam, the Gemura in Chilin brings that why is this bird that's not kosher, called Ru, Sheroya Beyoiser. Shtait Omdes Bebuvel, Vroya Neweile, Beretz Yisru. So it's very gebringt. Bashamtav teached on this Gemura, Omdes Bebuvel, Vroya Neweile, Beretz Yisru. The person who isn't doing the right thing, the person who's not Erlich, Udem Shaine Hogan, he's called Buvel. He's involved in Shtissim and Havaloy Lamaze. Others wouldn't bring this a similar idea about Bilbilim. He's confused. He's doing the wrong thing. He's not set straight and doing what he should. And the tzaddik is called Eretz Yisroel. He's the one that's doing the right thing, right? The condition says Yisroel. So the Gemara is saying that there's a person who's on this bebuvel. There's somebody who's he himself is doing the wrong thing. V'roya al udam kusher nevayle. He's looking at Eretz Yisroel on the righteous person, and he's saying, "Oh, I see where that person's going wrong." The one who's not doing the right thing is judging the person who's actually doing the right thing. And that's called a Nevaila Be'eretz Yisroel. And that's why this is a bird that's not kosher. It's not the right way to do it. Now, in general, we know also a Torah from the Bashem Tov called a Poisel B'min Ma'Poisel, right? Anyone, the Bashem Tov always said that when you see something wrong with someone else, you might be at fault for the same thing. And there's a Tfilah from Heidegger Ramaylech, Shnerech Lech Malas Chabarani V'lech Asroinam. It's so easy to look down at someone else. It's so easy to look down at somebody who's less than you, but in this case, we're finding that it's even easier to look down at someone who's more than you. Right, you have somebody who's actually Omdes Be'eretz Yisroel, and you look down at them. Now, of course, you know, whoever's looking down at someone else will never admit that person is really more than me, and I'm just looking down at them. We always tend to assume that when we're looking down at someone else, it's because they're actually less than us. But in general, I think that so much of the relationship between people, b'nun l'chavayra, b'nun l'ishtoy, so much of the success in any relationship, and the closer you get, the closer to home, the more relevant, is to be able to see the good in the other person, and to be understanding, and to not be judging. And to be able to really be mekayim shnira kalechad malas chavarayni v'lech esroinam. We could be aware that person has esroinus and still choose not to see it, right? The Ramaylech in the Tefillah is not saying that we should notice that the person doesn't have any esroinus. We should see the malas and not the esroinus, and that's something that takes a lot of work. And it's a work in progress, and we're all trying. Just to remember that in order to be close to people, you have to see them as good people and not judge them. So let me read a question. Dear Begrun, I want to thank you for all your shiurim. I started listening to them when I got engaged, and now it's already a few years later, and I feel that you have really impacted my marriage in such a positive way. Thank you. Okay, thank you. I have a question that's a little different from most questions. Me and my sister are a couple of years apart. She's a few years older than me. Throughout the years, I can't say we always got along. We're not all that different, but different enough that we have what to fight about. My sister's a bit more frum than me, and I often feel like she looks down at me for who I am. I don't know how much of this is in my head, but it is something that strains our relationship and makes me stressed. Often I could schmooze with her for an hour and have a great conversation with her, but I'll find myself avoiding topics that will make me feel little in her eyes, or topics that I know we have different views on. One example, my husband started off learning in Koyl, but after a certain amount of time, it really didn't work out well for him, so he got a job. I was confident in what my husband was doing, but felt embarrassed telling my sister about it. Another example of our differences is in technology. She doesn't text or email. Once she handed me her phone and asked me to send a text to somebody because she would not text. It made me feel like such a goy. I'm not sure how my sister views our relationship, but she's not the type that is open and likes talking about her emotions and stuff. I would really appreciate any tips or ideas about how to relate to my sister better. Thank you so much. Okay, so very good. Good question. You start off saying that this is not the typical question, and I'll tell you why it's not typical. It's not typical because I generally address questions that pertain to Shalom Bayis and Chinuch. In this case, it's you and your sister. But you'd be surprised because this is, when it comes to any relationships, they're really all the same. And I'll try to cover that too. And this could be so relevant when it comes to Shalom Bayis as well. In my book, Get Along With Everyone, it's a book about relationships. So people ask me, what's the book you have on Chinuch? What's the book you have on Shalom Bayis? It's one book. I wrote a book about relationships. And I think that it will cover almost every relationship, whether it's a relationship with your child or your spouse or your sister for that matter. So it's not as different as you would think. So let's just try to address this topic, which is a very geschmacka topic, a very important topic. The topic of judging other people, whether it's your sister judging you, looking down at you for being less firm, let's call it, or you judging your sister for judging you, and things like that. I mean, it's definitely a very big and important topic in Yiddishkeit in general, whether you want to call it Damnekavschis, or however you want to look at it, to not look down at other people. Not look down at other people. Chazal tell us, and that's what I'm talking about, it, calling the Guam Udam Roya Chiz Menega Atzmoy. A person will always see someone else's problems, not their own problems. This is so it's so common and so important. The idea bechlal of judging, right, of judging people, it works both ways. It's interesting how judging other people, it's not just that we judge people who are less than us. We judge people that are more than us as well. Similar to what the Baal Shem Tov said about the Roi Nevi'ah de Beit Yisroel. I'm not saying that we believe those people are more than us. That would be hard to judge them, although that also happens. But in general, it's so easy for a person to fall into the trap of judging the people that are doing things better than I am, and then judging them for doing it wrong, or for the wrong reasons, or for being haughty and arrogant about it, or for doing it on someone else's cheshbon, or for thinking that that's Yiddishkeit, or thinking that Hashem loves them more, blah, 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 etc., etc. It's so easy to judge the people that are behaving in a way that seems more than what we're doing. And then the other way around as well. Judging people who are doing less than us, that's really so common and so simple. Of course I'm judging people who are doing less than me. They should be doing what I'm doing. They should be doing what I'm doing. And very often, I can't say always, but very often, this is just coming from people feeling insecure. So if I don't feel secure about what I'm doing, automatically, I'll feel judged by the people who are doing something more than me, because maybe I really should be doing that. I know that's the better way to do it. And the only way to make myself feel better about not doing what I should be doing is by saying that the person who is doing it probably has some ulterior motives, or doesn't mean that it was the wrong thing to do, and quickly quiet that little voice in my mind that's making me feel insecure, because that's the wrong thing to do, even though really it's the right thing to do. And then, to look at people who are doing less than me, and again, due to my own insecurities, look at them and say, hey, how come they're getting away with more than I am? Right? They're doing whatever they want to do, and you know, I'm only doing this, and I'm not even feeling great, so maybe I should be doing what they, etc. It's very confusing. Very many people, if not most people, fall into this kind of trap of, you know, looking down the people who are doing more, looking down the people doing less, and it just gets confusing. I once heard this from a Manal in the Moisad. It was a Moisad that was accepting a lot of different kind of parents and homes. Not the typical Moisad that gets very into taking people that all look the same. So specifically taking people from all over the place. And you would assume that people that are doing whatever they feel is right, let's call it, I don't mean it in a negative way, just people who aren't conforming to certain standards or structures or whatever it is, you would assume that those people are very accepting people, right? So I wear the red shirt, you wear the white shirt, and we're both fine with it, right? Because that's how we are. But in the meantime, it wasn't going like that. The Manal was surprised to see that over time, he was getting a lot of phone calls. He was getting a phone call from person A that person B sends to the same school or the same cheder, and you know, look how they behave, so much less than my standard. Person B was then calling them the same Manal about person C, saying, you know, what's going on over here? I don't feel comfortable that somebody is like that, like person C, who has even lower standards, is sending to the same school that I am. I mean, what I do is normal. And this is the mindset people fall into. And the Manal was saying, like, if only people would just look at themselves, try to be the best they could be, and let everyone be the best they could be, like the Moisad was trying to accomplish, it would make everything so much easier. But it's not the way it is. Everyone was assuming that what they're doing is right, which automatically interprets itself in the person who's doing more than me and looking down at me and reporting me to the school is a fanatic and a meshugana. And the person who's doing less than me is actually shaming the school and the standard over here. And it's a disgrace. How can you allow that? And I think that very, very much of this has to do with our own insecurities. When somebody feels really comfortable with themselves, they feel comfortable with what they're doing, automatically they don't assume that the person doing more than them is necessarily more. Okay, you have a different standard, that's fine, but I feel comfortable with what I'm doing. And the person less than me is, okay, so if you want to do something else, that's fine. What does that do with me? I'm doing the right thing. You know, the more I feel I'm doing the right thing, the more I look at myself and feel comfortable with what I'm doing, and I'm fine even admitting or acknowledging maybe there's another right thing for someone else. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and maybe that person's supposed to do something else. So what's the problem with that? There could be more than one right. Very often what happens is that when somebody's insecure, they automatically feel like somebody else must be judging me, even if the person isn't. Could we have a neighbor who you feel is looking down at you simply because you know you're doing the wrong thing, and that person happens to be a very accepting person, but you feel so bad about what you're doing that automatically you assume, you know, that someone else is at fault for judging you. My point is that aside from the problem of judging other people, it's also sometimes we judge people that are judging us simply because we're feeling a little guilty about something, and not always, but it's just something to take into consideration. Okay, I think it's also important to acknowledge, and this is where a lot of people have a difficulty. I'm also only a person, that there is more there is more. As much as I feel that I'm the perfect person and I'm just right, I'm getting it all, I'm good, I'm as erlich as I should be, and I'm open-minded as I should be, and I'm not close-minded, I'm not fanatic, but I'm also not liberal, and also not out of bounds. I'm perfect, right? That's how we all... It could be that someone else who is more than me. It's still okay. I think there's a certain acceptance that most of us should accept, that there are people that are more than us, and we can respect them for that without feeling intimidated by it, or judged by it, or insecure about it. We don't have to decide that what I'm doing is right and what that person must be doing is wrong. I think if we'd come to respect people that are doing things a little better than us, we could feel less... I'm threatened by it. So that's just about the idea of judging and feeling judged. In general, I think that anyone who's even trying to please everyone or find favor in everyone's eyes and then feeling intimidated when other people do judge them, even if other people are judging them, it definitely could turn into an OCD and some kind of obsession to try to please everyone. Right? You can't make everyone happy all the time. You can't please everyone all the time. So if this becomes your thing, like, I can't handle that somebody's looking down at me, you're probably going to struggle with this in very many areas. Now, I understand that a sister is very close, and maybe you don't have that many sisters, maybe you don't care less about your neighbors, but in some sense, you can't make everyone happy. You can't make everyone happy. And I think it's just important to realize that the famous story about the couple that got married in a faraway town, and they were coming back, going through the different towns, and they were coming with their donkey. You know, famous analogy. And they came to the first place, and people saw the husband on the donkey, and the wife was walking. They said, "You don't understand? You let your wife walk like that?" Okay, so then she got on the donkey, and he got off. And then we came to the next town. They came to greet them. They said, "What happened over here? Your husband's walking, and your wife on the donkey. That's not a normal thing." Right? So then they both got off the donkey and started going further. And somebody said, "Hey, what's going on? But you guys have a donkey, and you're not even using it. You're both walking." So they both got on the donkey, and other people had to say, "What do you mean? Two people on a donkey? You don't feel bad for the donkey?" So they got off and they put the donkey on them, and they were carrying the donkey. And then finally, when they got home, everyone was looking, "Wow, three donkeys. What type of craziness? Holding a donkey on your shoulders." I think that's what happens when you try to please everyone. You can't please everyone all the time, so you should stop trying. That's the first thing. I think it's important b'chlal for people to realize, like, who do you want to impress and who don't you want to impress? Who's important to impress and who not? And a lot of this has to do with who do you feel has the right ideas, and that's why you want to live up to what their standards are, and who doesn't, so you don't want to live up to their standards. Sometimes you have to boil it down to who yes and who not. And I think more important is to understand that we're not really here to impress anyone, for that matter. Even though it's very hard to say that, and I think it's a very idealistic idea. And I don't care what anyone has to say. Sometimes it's ridiculous not care what anyone has to say. And people who do that just end up doing crazy things. And then they get insulted when people don't like what they're doing. Right? Because, why are you judging me? Well, I thought you don't care what anyone has to say. But anyway, the idea of impressing Hashem and doing what Hashem wants of us, I think that's really what it boils down to. Right? There's a story about it was the Russian Amuret, when he was saying the Aguda, he was saying Tom Mui Oimer, and Tom in Russian, I guess that's how the story goes, Tom means over there. He's saying Tom Mui Oimer. Doesn't matter what this person says about me or that person says about me, Tom, up there, what are they saying about me? That's what's most important. So I think in general, just knowing that when you try to behave in a certain way, that you're trying to please other people, right? I think it's important to realize that you can't please everyone. You have to decide who you want to please. And more importantly, it's important to remember who you really have to please and stop trying to make sure that everyone is always going to be happy with whatever you're doing, because that's anyway not going to happen. Now, when it comes to relationships, relationships aren't all or none. Right? Because you're saying that there are parts of this relationship where you think one way and that there are certain topics you can't discuss and you're not on the same page about certain things. I think it's fine. I think relationships in general are not all in one. If you only get along with the people that see eye to eye to you on every topic, then you'll probably be very... busy with yourself, because that might be the only person that you get along with 100% and agree on with everything. I think it's fine in many relationships to to have certain things that you disagree on, certain things you feel more comfortable discussing with someone else, and certain things you feel more comfortable discussing with this person. I think most people, when it comes to certain friends or siblings, some talk about even the spouse, I think most people have certain things like, this I agree with you on, this I don't. As long as we see eye to eye about a lot of things, or about some things, we could connect over that, and we could enjoy conversing about that and discussing it, and whatever not, we don't have to. Why do we have to get into every sort of topic that we don't agree on? And what's the thing? Because we have to agree on everything, otherwise it gets in the way of our relationship. It shouldn't be that. It shouldn't be that way. Sometimes when we do try to get too close to somebody and agree on everything, we're just busy smothering the other person, not allowing them to be. Most often, when you're trying to connect with someone, all over the place, it's usually not in the way where you're surrendering to that person, which also isn't too healthy usually. It's usually about the other person should surrender to me. Why are you trying to suffocate someone? So I think it's very important not to take any differences personally. I think it's okay to agree and accept, to agree that we disagree and accept that someone else thinks or feels differently about something. And as I mentioned often, acceptance doesn't mean that you can use that against them their whole life. I accept you even though you're so different than me and it's so hard for me. That's not called acceptance. Acceptance means I understand that, you know, we don't see eye to eye by the way. I don't, it shouldn't be a problem. And when people do take it personally, it's very often their own issue. Just practically speaking, two things. If you want to build a relationship with somebody who you feel maybe looks down at you, or you look down at them for looking down at you, or for whatever reason there's some small tension in the ear, I think one of the ways to build the relationship is to be respectful and show the person how highly you think of them without specifically going into these areas of tension or disagreement and saying how highly you hold of her for not texting. But in general, the more you respect someone, interestingly, the more they hold of you and the more they respect you back and the more comfortable you become. So instead of being resentful or about feeling judged by that person looking down at you, look up to them, and chances are they'll look back up to you. If somebody does ask you for something that makes you feel uncomfortable, you feel offended by it, even though I don't see why you should, but in this case maybe you feel offended that you should be having that standard that she has, you know, whatever it is, whether it's texting or technology or anything, whatever, you can always turn someone down and say, I don't feel comfortable. It doesn't feel great to admit that you feel offended, but sometimes you should, sometimes it's fine. In general, I don't see why you should feel offended. I know when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, for example, you have people who say, oh, I don't carry with the Erev, could you carry this for me? People are like, oh, you think I'm a goy? I don't think you're a goy, but if you carry and I don't, would you mind doing it for me? That's all very simple. And if you don't want it, you can say, I don't feel comfortable doing that. Somebody asks you, oh, do you open seltzer bottles on Shabbos? Because I don't. Do you mind opening it for me? What do you mean, I'm your goy? If you don't open it, don't drink. Okay, if you don't feel comfortable, it doesn't mean you don't feel comfortable. You don't have to feel like a goy, I don't think, if somebody's asking you to do something that you're okay with. And if you do, you could say, I don't feel comfortable. Probably not the smartest thing to do, but maybe it's better than feeling resentful and getting all stuck on that. So I did want to come back to what I started off with, and I mentioned it before as well, because you're telling me it's not a typical question. I think it's so typical. This is so common when it comes to a spouse as well. And I hear this so often. I hear it so often, both ways. People who feel that the spouse is more than them, and then they feel judged. And they can't handle why does my spouse have to be so firm and so fanatic and so this and so that? Why can't they be a little more whatever and just getting stuck on either feeling judged or just not handling the difference? And the other way around as well. So many people who feel that they are more and they're wondering why their spouse is less, and they can't accept someone for being less. And automatically, I'm sure their spouse is feeling that as well. And it's part of why they can't work along together in many areas. And this is something that's very important to know how to agree to disagree and accept someone and expect the differences. Expect the differences. They happen all the time. Well, I thought I married someone, or the way we got married was like that. There are people that use that their whole life. Well, how can you do this? When we got married, we decided like that. I'm not saying that that's not a taina. When it comes to practical changes, and somebody wants to make a big change, and we got married expecting something else, sometimes in practicality, it is a taina. You know, it's a good argument that we didn't get married agreeing that this will happen, and I'm sorry, I don't have to agree to make a big change. There is validity to that. But when it comes to the debate and the argument and the challenge and the tension and the fighting about it, and you keep on pulling the card out, yeah, but when we got married, okay, so when we got married, people change in life, you know. It's 16 years later, and the guy when he got married wanted one thing, and now he wants something else. Why was he proving him wrong by the fact that when he was a 19-year-old he wanted one thing, and now when he's 35 he wants something else? Isn't that normal? I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but and I see this both ways, where people keep on harping on the fact that but this is how it was. But this is how it was makes it more right. It could be then I was naive. It could be things change. It could be there's a lot of ways to see it. And over time, it could be one day I'll change back to the way I was. Maybe one day you'll change. So I think it's just also something that we have to accept. Aside from accepting differences in style, opinion, feeling, perspective, standard, it's also important to accept that people change over time. And the person you marry at age 19 or at age 39 might change 10 years down the road. And you might also. And it's just all part of acceptance. It's not part of imposing on someone, well, I'm allowed to change, and now you have to change along. Not necessarily, but it's important to understand each other and accept each other and expect these differences and know how to work with them and not get all stuck on them. So it definitely takes a lot of flexibility to be understanding and accepting. And it's sometimes what's necessary to live in harmony with your spouse or with your siblings or with anyone. Sometimes it's easier. Sometimes you do see eye to eye with a sister or a spouse and you don't have to work so hard on yourself. And sometimes you do, and that's all part of it. So I think just to recap, the idea of judging and feeling judged is definitely something we all have to take our own, you know, do introspection and take our own accounting on, like, how much am I judging other people? How much should I be more accepting of other people? How much do I feel judged? How much am I feeling judged because I'm judging? And how much do I feel judged because I'm insecure? And who do I really want to impress? And if people do judge me, and if people aren't so happy with what I do, how important is that really? And who am I looking to impress? And who do I want to make sure I am impressing and not feel guilty about not impressing the tam muyam and then using it against other people? And in general, to be flexible in understanding that in relationships, not everything has to be all or none. And getting around these things in a practical level and making sure that even with a spouse, there's a certain amount of flexibility. And I hope that with Hashem's help, we could actually be mekayim the idea of not being oymed babuvel and roy nevayle beitz Yisrael, judging people who might even be more than us. On the contrary, being kosher birds and seeing the good in everyone and living together in Mitzvah Hashem.